Your handout should be God's Grow Groups, God's Truth, number one, and we're looking at Revelation. Now, let me remind you of this. Let's talk about last week. If you remember, we started our study last week, and we started with an overarching lesson that we'll talk about all the time, and that's our purpose, our plan, and our process. So somebody tell me, what is the purpose of Stillwater Bible Church? What is it? Okay, y'all listen. Come on. What is it? Make disciples. Okay, making disciples involves two things. What is it? Evangelism and training, okay? That's the purpose. What is the plan? There's three parts to the plan. What is it? Equip the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so we make disciples so that we can, and how do we do that? Equipping the believers to do the ministry, build up the body. And then we have a process, and what's it called? Gathered and scattered. When we gather for what reason? Two reasons. Worship and training. And we scatter for evangelism and service. You've done great. That's good. And we're going to get that down so that when somebody talks to you and they ask you about our church, we'll know those things. Okay, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're starting what we call a brand new study, and that over this course of this semester, we're going to be looking at different truths. We're calling it God's truth. Are God's truths, and we're going to see different things that will help us grow. There's areas that if I just say, what is revelation, or what is inspiration, or what are the gospels, or what is the gospel, those kind of things, we want you to be able to know them and be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. That's our goal. Our goal is that as we get into grow groups, we have fellowship and encouragement and equipping one another and all of that. Let's start with just the purpose of grow groups. What are grow groups all about? The grow stands for grow in relationships, obeying the word. That's the two things we want to do. We want to grow in our relationships in those smaller groups, getting to know each other, praying for one another, ministering to one another, spending time with one another. But we also want to obeying the word. That comes from the teaching. And as you know, in the grow group, when we get through here in just a few minutes, really, when we get through, you'll go into your small groups and you'll have not only your host, which leads your group, but you'll have a facilitator that will go over some questions based on this lesson that we can talk about and see how to make sure we understand it and apply it. So we've got a lot to do, so we want to grow in all that. This semester, God's truths. As believers, we want to be ready to give an answer to the hope that is within us. We're going to look at things over this semester like God and the Word and the Gospel and creation and salvation and theological terms and all those kind of things. Let me just remind you of something. We're going to look at Revelation today, and Revelation is God making himself known to mankind. Okay, and then what we're going to look at as we go through is, how does God make himself known, and what has he shown us about himself? And this is a very simple lesson. I'm not going into a lot of details, but we want to see it. So let's think about God. Let's think about revelation. When we think about God, we realize that he is way above us. Is that correct? Is he way above us? He is the creator, and we are the what? Creation. Okay, he made us. All right, when we think about it, God is infinite. And we are finite. If you're on your handout, we're right under where it says God's truths. At God's truths, revelation, it says God is what? Infinite, and we are finite. That means he is without any kind of limitations at all. Now, there are some limitations. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. But God is an infinite being. He's everywhere. I mean, he's just something. And we're finite. We're limited. We are part of his creation. And so when we think about this, let's talk about revelation. John Walvoord, who was the former president of Dallas Seminary, he defines revelation as this. He says it is the process by which God communicates to humans by various means. Now, I want you to understand something. Since God is infinite and we're finite, we would not know anything about God unless he chose to reveal it to us, because we're limited. We just can't know and understand. And so God has made himself known. And this is how, if you come into like our 2-2 class or some of our other studies and we say, what does the word revelation mean? Revelation is just God making himself known. And our God, the eternal God, separate from his creation, has revealed himself to us. And so if I started telling you, if I said to you, tell me something about God, all of you in this room, you'd start saying things about God or things that you know. Well, the only reason you know that is because God has revealed himself to us. And we're going to look at it. In this lesson, I mentioned it a while ago, we're going to look at, if you go to the top of the next page where it says how and what, we're going to look at how God makes himself known. How does he do it? I'm going to ask you in just a minute to tell me some ways, and we'll talk about it. And then we're going to talk about, what do we know about God from the Bible? Now, since he's infinite, we can't know everything about God. But we can know what he has revealed to us. And so we'll see it as we go through our lesson today. And so let's start. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look what it says, verse 1. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. Now, the word, I just want you to see this. The word portions, when you see that, it means many parts and many times. And when it says in many ways, it means in different ways. And so God has revealed himself to us in all kind of ways and all kind of times. The writer of Hebrews says, in the past, God has made himself known to mankind. And we start thinking about it. God has made himself known to us. Let me ask you a question. You tell me, how do you see that God has revealed himself? What's some ways that God has revealed himself? Huh? Through the Bible, okay? Through creation. Huh? Through his son. What else? Prophets. What else? What? His word, yeah, okay. Angels? Holy Spirit? How about an animal? Right? Huh? Opportunities? What does that mean? And because that came about, you would say, oh, God is there and he's working these things, right? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's true. There are all kinds of ways. Prophets, dreams. What about animals? Yeah, Balaam's donkey. Balaam's donkey. He's riding on a donkey, and God lets the donkey speak to him and said, please quit hitting me. Right? Right? He said, don't you see that angel up there is about to kill you? Right? What about through dreams? God revealed himself through dreams. Every time Joseph, the husband of Mary, gets information from God, it's through a dream. Okay, so we're just saying that in many ways, many times, different means, different parts, God has revealed himself. Now, let's think about some things. There are two ways when people who are Bible scholars put things together, they say that when we think about revelation, there's two different ways to look at it. There's what they call general revelation, which is God revealing himself to all people, and then there's special revelation, which he gives to particular people at particular time in particular ways. When you think about it, the Bible, if you read the New Testament letters, those were written to particular people in particular time, particular ways. When the prophets got information, it was particular people. So there is general revelation, which is to mankind as a whole, and then there's special revelation. Now, as we look at this, we're going to look at three big ways. And we listed a whole bunch of things a while ago, but we can take and look at three big ways that God has revealed himself to us. The world, that's general revelation. That's the creation. That's the world around us. The Word, which is the Bible, which we call that special revelation, and the Son. That's Jesus Christ. We call that special revelation as well. So when we think about it, and this is what we're going to limit this study to, we're going to look at just three big ways God has made himself known. And let me just say this again. If God had not made himself known because we are finite creatures created by God, if he did not reveal himself to us in some ways, we would know nothing about God because he's beyond us. He's beyond us. Romans 11:33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, notice what it says, past finding out. He says, if God doesn't reveal himself to us, we can't know him because he's too high up. We're just a created being on a world. And if God doesn't somehow let himself be known, we would not know him. Well, let's start, first of all, with what we call general revelation, okay? General revelation, and we're going to look at the world. That's the creation. You realize that from the created world that we can see about God. And when we see it, look, listen, you can take a telescope, and you can keep going as far out as you can go, and you know that every time they keep going further out and sending out space things and all this, and they're bringing back pictures, they keep going, this is so amazing. Look what's out here. Then you can take a microscope, And you can start getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And of course, as the years have gone by, we've developed more and more things. And the smaller we get, we keep finding that there's more and more things in there, and it's more organized and exact and perfect. And so when you look at the world, when you look at the creation, it tells you about God. I want you to turn to Romans, okay? Romans chapter 1. Just flip over there to Romans chapter 1. Take just a second. You'll have to, when we do a study like this, you're just going to have to go to different places in the Bible. I want you to look at Romans chapter 1 and see what Paul says about God and his revelation through the world. Okay? Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident. He's talking about people know God. And he says, because that which is known about God is evident, because God made it evident to them. God made himself known to people. Notice what he goes on to say. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been what? Made, what has been created. So we're without excuse. Mankind is without excuse. I want you to think about this. The invisible attributes of God, his power, his Godhead, all of it are clearly seen. How? How? Through the creation. Listen, when people say, I don't believe there's a God, you're saying, have you looked around lately? Have you looked in a telescope? Have you looked in a microscope? Have you looked at the sunset? Have you looked at the creation? Have you looked at the animals? Have you looked at the flowers? Have you seen that just what's inside, just this little piece of trash and, you know, this weed out in the garden, you pick that thing up and it's so complex. I mean, have you looked around you? And God says that when a person stands before me someday and says, I didn't know anything about you, he said, you don't have an excuse, because I revealed my eternal power and Godhead through this creation, this magnificent creation that I have done. Okay, I want to read something to you. You don't have to turn there. This is in Psalm 19. I just want you to listen to this. This is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. You've got it written down there. Just listen to this. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. How does the heavens tell us of the glory of God? How? The star. Listen, have you walked out at night and go, oh my goodness. Or you look down and it says 7:34, sun will rise. You go out at 7:34 and here comes the sun, because it's a perfect ordered system. And there's a moon that comes out and everybody knows, well, the moon's going to be here and here and this. Sun's going to come up here and go down here. Everything fits. Stars are over here and they're going to be moving this way. And it says the heavens tell the glory of God. It goes on to say, day to day, forth speech, that's the sun. Night to night reveals knowledge, that's the moon and the stars. It says, there's no speech, there aren't any words, the voice isn't heard, but their line has gone out through all the whole world and their utterance to the end of the world. It says, listen, even though the stars and the moon and the sun and the creation doesn't say anything, it speaks of God's glory and who he is. Sometimes we're so fast that we don't take the time to look at the creation. Because the creation is magnificent. It's a fallen world with a magnificent creation. What do you think it's going to look like when it's not a fallen world? When God makes a new heavens and a new earth, what do you think it's going to look like? If this is amazing now, what will it look like when there's a new creation? Amazing. Mankind can see the revelation of the true God through the creation. But there's more. There's special revelation. And special revelation, we're going to start with the Word. That's the Bible. That's special revelation. That God has given us his Word in a written form. He's revealed himself to us in a written form. We're going to talk more about that in another lesson. But let me just have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Flip toward the back of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to see this real quickly. We've got to go fast because we're running out of time already. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verses 16 and 17. Look what this says. It says, all scripture is what? Does anybody know? Anybody get there yet? All scripture is what? inspired by God. That means God breathed. That means God gave us the Bible. I don't want you to have to turn it just because of time, but in 2 Peter 1:20, and I've got that on your handout for you, it says all scripture is inspired. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, it says not by somebody deciding they would write this down. It wasn't somebody who decided they were going to write down the Bible. Paul didn't say, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to write the Bible. It wasn't David who said, I think I'm going to write the Bible. The verse goes on to say that it was not of the human will, verse 21, but men moved by the Holy Spirit. You understand that God used people to give us a written revelation. That's how he's revealed himself to us. And let me tell you, what you know about God, most everything you know about God comes from this book. Now, you can go out and look at the creation, and you can say God's powerful, and he's ordered, and he's everything else. But the truth about Christ and salvation and who God is and everything you can name comes because he has revealed himself to us in a written form. Okay? So God used people to write down his word. All right? That takes us to one more. Okay? It takes us to one more area, and this is the special revelation, and that's the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son. Now, I want you to turn to John 1, okay? Just flip over there. I know we're running out of time, but I want you to go to John chapter 1. I want you to see something. God has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. When you look in the Bible, that's how we see the Son, but there were people who actually lived on this earth when Jesus Christ was on the earth. That's the Son. They saw God when they saw Jesus. You remember John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what does John say? John says, we saw his what? His glory. We saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I want you to see a verse that sometimes you don't think about. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, talking about the Son, Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has done what? What does it say? He explained him. He explained him. The Son tells us what the Father is like. I've got two verses right there. Look at this. If you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. I and the Father are one. So what I want you to grasp, and then we're going to go quickly through the second part. What I want you to grasp is that God has made himself known to mankind. He's done it through the creation, so people without excuse. He's done it through the written revelation, the Bible, and he's done it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when they saw Jesus, they were actually seeing God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. He says, I'm God. Now, with that in mind, the second part of this study is what can we learn from God's revelation? What can we learn about God from God's revelation? And I'm going to give it to you fairly quickly so you can think about it. Number one, we've already seen it. God is what? What does it mean? Tell me what it means. Not only never ending, but there is no limitation in a sense to who he is and what he is and his character and everything else. It's just beyond our whole comprehension, right? Okay, so God is infinite. He is. It's amazing. There's a second thing. God is what? God's love. And this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sin. If God so loved us, we ought to love him. By this, the love of God was manifested in the world that God sent his Son. God is a God of love. Most people in our world are confused about God and his character. Most people think that God is mean. Most people see God as a judge. Most people look at God and think, okay, he's up there, and you know, I better get my act together or I'll never be with him. That's what most people think. You may be surprised because we're grace all the way, and we see who God is, and he loves us, sent his Son, and we have eternal life as a gift. But there are a whole bunch of people out there that think somehow God is looking at them not in love but in judgment. And basically saying, you need to get your acts together if you're going to be with me. But God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world what? Might be saved through him. Jesus didn't come to be the judge. He came to be the Savior. Okay? There's the third thing. God is holy. That's a big one. That's at the top, I think, at the top of the next page. I've got some verses there for you. It says, you shall be holy because I'm holy. In 1 John 1:5, he's light. There's no darkness whatsoever. God is a holy God. That means separate. I want you to understand, that doesn't just mean he's good. It means he is completely perfect, righteous, just. That means he is separate from his creation. Holiness means being set apart. He's not part of the creation. A lot of people are confused. They'll say, God is the air that I breathe. He's not the air that you breathe. He created the air that you breathe. He is the creator. He is not part of the creation. That's pantheism, by the way. Pantheism means that God's in everything. God's not in everything. God created everything. God's separate from his creation. And with that in mind, I got what I call the three O's, okay? When you take the 2-2 class, I have 14 attributes of God. This morning, we're just mentioning a few. I want you to see what we call the three O's. God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. Can God do anything? No. He can't lie. See, he can do anything in the sense of his power, but he has limited himself based on his character. That means he can't lie. He can't deny himself. He can't go back on a promise. But in the sense of being all-powerful, he is always all-powerful being who's ever existed. The second O is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows what you think. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows where you're going to be. He knows where you could have been. He knows every possibility of everything that could have ever happened. He knows every aspect. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows everything because he created you. And then last but not least, he's omnipresent. That means what? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Is he in this room? Is he in you? If you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, where is Jesus? He's inside you. Is he seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father? How can he be there and there and here and there? How can he be in all this? Because he's what? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So we got to stop, and we're going to go to our grow group. But we've looked at the whole idea of we want to grow. Of course, the whole idea is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. And the way that we do that is go to the revelation that he's given us. We look at the creation, awe. We study the Word so we can know it and apply it. We look at the Son, and we see his grace and how God used him. So applications, just three things to think about. What is revelation? What three ways? Okay, what is revelation? God making himself what? Known. What are the three ways that God has revealed himself to us? What are they? The world, the Word, the Son, and last but not least, what can we know about God? Well, this morning we know that he's infinite and that he's God of love and that he's holy and he's all-powerful and he knows everything and he's everywhere. Now, that's just a start. That's just a start, and we'll see it. Let's pray and let's go to the grow groups and we'll talk through all these things.